So as I was thinking this week about the year, and I think about, you know, how at the beginning of a year, we have all these plans for ourselves and things that we want to do and things that we want to see happen. When we're young, we think, oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to conquer the world, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to climb Mount Everest, and I'm going to do all of these amazing things. And then you turn around and it's been 20 years. You think, what did I do? I'm going to admonish you this year to dream again. Dream again. Have you ever had a dream like that that you held on to, and forever you, it seems like you held on to it, and then all of a sudden one day goes by and you completely forgot about that dream, and you think, well, what about that? Well, what about that dream? What about that desire that's in your heart, or that dream that, that God has given you so that you can do something better with your life? Everybody has dreams. I dream of this church growing and surpassing and doing and being more than it's ever been. I mean, we handed out 52 turkey boxes. Thanksgiving food boxes for Thanksgiving this year. 52. We went from 20 last year and zero the year before, and 52 this year. And I know Susan, her first husband, who lives in heaven now, they were the recipients of one of those boxes, and it really influenced them in their lives in a time when they were in need. We actually got two thank you cards from people we sent out. You know. 2 out of 52, that was more than I was actually expecting. You know, I wasn't expecting, we don't do it for the thank you cards. We do it because we want to meet people's needs. I have dreams for my children. I have dreams for this church. I have dreams for each and every one of you. I have dreams for Kathy. I have dreams for myself, things I'd like to see happen. See, you know, my desire is for it not to be the rare thing that somebody is healed from something like multiple sclerosis or cancer, but I want to see it the common thing that happens in the church. My desire is for signs and wonders and healings and miracles, right? My desire is to see people redeemed and brought back to God, to be saved, to be removed, to have oppressions and chains and hindrances and all kinds of things that are hindering us all of our lives. My biggest dream, and we pray this for Faith every night, is for healing for her eye, for it to be open and for it to see the way it's supposed to be. Because that's the way God created us. He created us with perfect eyes. He created us with perfect bodies. But sin entered in. Death entered in. And things take over the world. You know, they're just out there everywhere. And we ought to be able to come to Jesus, who is the healer, and be healed and made whole every single time, without a hindrance. I shouldn't need to go to the doctor. I just need to go to Jesus. I mean, I think about the man who sat out there at the Temple Mount. For 40 years he sat out there, and even while Jesus was on the earth, it was never moved upon to heal this man. But James and Peter came out, and they said, what we have is the healing power of God. We're going to give that to you right now. And he stood up and walked for the first time. And not only did he walk, he leaped like Bambi. You know what I'm saying? He was happy. I'm dreaming big for everybody here. I'm dreaming big for myself. Unfortunately, though, as many of you know, things happen. Tomorrow I might wake up, maybe, you know, have some symptom or something like that in my body. Or, you know, wake up and you've got to get going and do things. You know, people are going back to school next week. Jesus. I just like a couple hours by myself. That's all. That's all I'm saying on that. You know, Kathy goes back to work this week, and you know, she was off all this week, and that's a blessing. But you know, it's nice, you know, when things start moving on again. But the problem is then we get trapped into those things where, you know, life is happening around us. Stuff is going on. And then we forget about those things that we were dreaming about, those things that we were expecting God to do. And it's like the parable of the sower who went out sowing the seed, which was, when you read the parable, it was the word. So the guy goes out sowing the seed, but it says some of them fell by the wayside. Some of them were choked out. The thing that choked them out were the cares of life. Because how many of you know if you want a roof over your head, you need to work? Nobody's just going to give you one, no matter what some people would like. We're not just going to give you a house, you know? Nobody's just going to give you a Mercedes-Benz with all-wheel drive. Wouldn't that be nice? I don't know. I have a friend who has a Mercedes-Benz, and it seems like she's got more trouble with that car than, you know. My dream is a Chevy Tahoe. Four-wheel drive Chevy Tahoe. Seven passenger. That's my thing. But the thing is that the busyness of life comes along, and pretty soon, you're not even thinking about those things that used to consume your heart, the things that you really desired, the things that you wanted. And pretty soon, all of these things that you were dreaming about, they get put over here on the back shelf somewhere. You don't even think about it. 20, 30 years go by sometimes, and you're like, wow, I wanted to go to college. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. I wanted to travel the world. Kathy's aunt, her aunt Irene, she was working, and she decided that she wanted to do better. So she started going to school. She told Kathy, she said, you either do it or you don't. Either way, it's going to take time. Time. Kind of like a Hallmark movie. You know, Christmas Hallmark movies. Anybody like Christmas Hallmark Christmas? Man, I never really thought of myself as being quite so sappy. But I love how, you know, the person is living their life, and it's, you know, it's just like life. You're living your life, something happens, derails you, you think, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You know, I used to have all these plans and desires for my life, things that I wanted to do, and then some mysterious magical thing happens because it's a Hallmark Christmas movie. And it pushes them in another direction that they weren't thinking of going, and they find their dream again. And that's a wonderful thing, to find your dream again. I think about, I love Hallmark Christmas movies. most of them don't really have much at all to do with Christmas, actually. They're just, you know, heartwarming movies. The Gospels say nothing is impossible to them who believe. Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you have a dream and you let it go on the wayside, now's the time to pick it up and go with it again. Now's the time to pick up your dream and say, I'm not going to let this sit over here anymore. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something to change this. I'm actually, I'm looking forward, and I'm going to start this year. Personally, one of my dreams, I always wanted to be a psychologist. Well, what role, someone would say, well, what role does that play in being a pastor? Oh, you'd be surprised. A big role. I always wanted to do that. Well, I can get certain amount of credits, like 4,500 credits, through a scholarship program through the Bible school that Kathy and I went through. And I can get a degree in psychology. So, why should I put off the things that are important to me? If this has always been in my dream, if it's something I've always wanted to do, why not add to where I'm at and increase in understanding, increase in ability? Why not do that? If you've got something in your heart, now's the time, not tomorrow, not the next day. You know, we used to have this saying, don't plan for tomorrow because tomorrow never comes. Because tomorrow you'll wake up and it'll be tomorrow, but it'll be today, so tomorrow never actually came. Now you're stuck. You know what I'm saying? Abraham and Sarah had a dream, didn't they? They wanted children. They waited a long time, and God told them that they were going to have a son. They were going to have a child. They waited a long time on that dream. Kathy and I, we graduated from Bible school, and I said, I want babies. And she said, well, we've got to have insurance first, and we're taking all the right plans. And over a year went by. I mean, you know, we're relatively young at that point still. And nothing's happening. And finally, we did get pregnant. And then we had a devastating loss with that pregnancy. And I was angry at God. My dream that I had of having a child died. They told us that Kathy had this pregnancy-induced hypertension thing, and every time it was going to be the same. And doctors kind of wanted us not really to try to get pregnant, because this is the kind of thing, this is just always going to be your outcome. A year later, we had faith. Okay? But the thing is here we were graduates from the Bible school that was started by the modern father of the faith movement, Kenneth E. Hagin. I mean, if anybody's going to have an understanding of faith, it's going to be us. But you understand, Abraham was the father of faith. Because even when things weren't working out right, he still had faith in God that everything was going to turn out right, that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. Joseph had a dream. Can I just tell you, sometimes you don't want to tell your family your dreams. Joseph had a dream and told his family. They didn't like his dream because his dream involved them bowing down to him. And he's the youngest. That doesn't happen. His brothers thought it was such a great dream that they originally planned to kill him and then decided they'd just sell him into slavery instead. Sometimes you're going to have a dream and you tell your family and they're going to tell you, oh, you don't want to do that. What's the point of doing that? Isn't that exactly what Joseph's family did? That's not your dream. That's not going to happen. He spent all those years in slavery serving Potiphar's house. He gets lied to, sent to prison. It looks like that's the end of the story for Joseph. Jacob. Old Jacob. Usurper. He got the birthright. Goes off, he's gonna find himself a wife. Falls in love. Oh, she's beautiful. You have to work 7 years for her. Anything you want. I'll work 7 years for you to get her. Wedding night, sends in the other sister. Well, I got to marry her off first. Work another 7 years. 14 years he labored to get that wife that he wanted. He had a dream. He didn't give up on his dream. I mean, he's got to come up with this thing with speckled and spotted and, you know, practically striped everythings, you know, with these sheep. And he's got to do all of this, make all of these things happen. And he's not giving up on his dream. No matter what Laban says, he's not giving up on his dream. No matter what the doctors say, don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream. Come on, some people are going to cut you off. They are going to disown you. They're going to say, you are a fool. How dare you? Why would you even bother to try to dream that big? Why would you want to do that? Give up on that dream. If Joseph had just said, you know what? I don't want to have any problems here. I'll just give up on my dream. Jacob, man, I worked 7 years for one. There's no guarantee I'll get the other one that I really love after the next 7 years. And just walk off. That's what most of us do with a dream when it looks like it's not going to happen. We got pregnant again after faith. It took several years. I mean, we didn't ever really try not to get pregnant. And we got pregnant. We'd had this dream. God told us we were going to have a son. He said, name him Josiah. I was driving in my car. He said, you're going to have a son. Name him Josiah. I was on my way to Costco. I wasn't doing anything very spiritual at all. And Kathy'd had a dream about a little boy with blue eyes. And she knew that it was her son and he was coming. Halfway through that pregnancy, we lost that baby. Someone said, that's too bad about Josiah. But I'm a man of faith. I said, that wasn't Josiah. God doesn't give dead dreams. God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, and to sacrifice him. Oh, no. Satan, I rebuke you. That's not what Abraham said, is it? He said, okay. But I know that whatever you tell me to do, you promised me this son. He's going to fight for it. He takes his son. And he says, even if I have to sacrifice my son, I know that God is able to raise him up again. God doesn't give dead dreams. David, I love David. He's this little shepherd boy. God has decided that Saul is not worthy. He's not set. He's not prepared to be king because he disobeys God. Samuel goes out. He's got all these big, strong, you know, the GQ model, your quarterback brothers all lined up, man. He says, not one of them. Don't look at what's on the outside. Look at the inside. You got any more sons? Well, I've got this one, but he's out shepherding the sheep. He's not much. Anoints him as king. Did David ascend to the throne that day? No. He goes and he's the only person who can play music to soothe Saul. And as soon as the music stops, the bows start flying again. Because what's he doing? He's trying to kill David. David has been anointed as king. He has to run off. He goes into battle. He's hiding in caves. But he's anointed to be king. But he doesn't ever give up on that dream. Don't ever give up on your... What if David had given up on the dream and just fled into Egypt or someplace else? He didn't give up on his dream. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream. Sometimes we have to fight for it. He was anointed to be king, but there was another king, one who tried to kill him. There are dream killers out there that want to take your dream from you. Don't let them. I said last week, and this was actually my grandma. My mom said, well, I'm healed of multiple sclerosis. And my grandma said, well, you don't look very healed, because she still had residual effects. You've been through that, haven't you? When you start telling people, I've got a dream, and God says my life is this way, not that way, and they start naysaying you, and they're trying to kill your dream, don't you let them. Don't let anybody kill your dream. Once you let somebody kill your dream is gone. One of the things that you have to remember, and that we have to remember in our dreams, is that God is going to have to work through some other people most of the time to get you to where there's the place where you can walk into your dream. Okay? Joseph, carried off into slavery, put in prison. There's a baker and a cupbearer. You know, the baker is the one who makes the bread. The cupbearer is the one who tastes the food to make sure it's not poisoned. That's a good job, right? I'm sure there's not a lot of hazard pay in that one. Not back then. That was, These guys were part of the dream killers. They were supposed to tell Pharaoh about this man who helped them. And they forgot. They got busy. Joseph's own brothers were his dream killers. But he never let go of his dream. Joseph probably did not like getting sold into slavery, lied about, set in prison. Abraham. Originally he was Abram. Abram. God says, I want you to change your name to Abraham. It means father of many nations. He hasn't got one child. And God wants him to tell everybody to call me father of many nations. Call me father of many nations. You don't even have a child. Why am I going to call you that? David was betrayed. Jacob was betrayed. Abraham. Man, I'm telling you what. They went through some stuff. It took them years, decades. Nothing was handed over to them on a silver platter, but they had to believe God for it. I remember back in 2014, we were up at Tahoe. We still have the iPad. We still have the memo note. We wrote on it. We were leaving, and none of us wanted to leave. We love Tahoe, man. I mean, we love the Sierras. We love it. And we wrote down on a piece of, we wrote down in a note, we're going to live in the mountains with rivers and trees, someplace close to Tahoe, someplace like Tahoe, and we're going to have a three-bedroom home. A year later, I mean, man, we didn't even think that much about it, but we set it on paper. We wrote it out. There's something about writing out your dream, writing out your expectations. We wrote it down. A year later, we were here. A little over a year later, we were here. We were here. We were packing up. We were living in Alaska. We had no place to live yet. We didn't have a house yet. Well, we were going. At the last minute, got a rental house with three bedrooms. Just like we said. Now we just bought a three-bedroom house. Of course, we're adding a fourth bedroom onto it. Everything looks like it's going to work out okay. My admonition for you for this last day of 2017 is look at your dreams again. Look at the things that you held on to. Maybe it was last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Is that still something that's in your heart? Is that still something that you want to do? Pull it out and start planning for it. Plan to do it. Plan to have your dream come to pass. Don't give up. 1 Timothy 6:12 says to fight the good fight of faith. When you have a dream, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Everything is not just going to lay out for you rose beds and rose-colored glasses and silver platters and everything fed to you on a silver spoon. It doesn't always happen that way. Praise God when it does. Praise God when it does. And it's good to have those experiences. But most of the time, you're going to have to fight for your dream. Most of the time, you're going to have to stand in the face of adversity and people naysaying you and telling you no. You go for a job interview and they call you and say, "We found someone else." Don't stop. It's like the old song by Journey. Don't stop believing. Don't give up. Don't back down. Patiently wait and do whatever God puts before you in the meantime to do. Most everything we're doing on a day-to-day basis, we're preparing the groundwork. We're preparing ourselves for what God has for us next. It's not just futile time when we're busy working away and doing everything else. It's faithfulness. I talked about this a few weeks ago, about being faithful in the everyday stuff. Because when you're faithful in the everyday stuff, God's going to move you into the greater. He said, if you're faithful in the little things, then you'll get the bigger things. Do you want the bigger things? If we want the bigger things, we have to be faithful in the everyday stuff. Faithful in the day-to-day routine. Come on, Rachel back there. I mean, she started playing piano, and she didn't have a clue what she was doing. Now, you can't tell that now. You can't tell. Come on. She says, "I'm going to do this. This is something I put before me," and she's going to do it, and she's getting some lessons. Are you still getting some lessons from Regina back there? But by the way, I think Regina does piano lessons. Patiently wait. Come on. Sometimes it's going to take 14 years, 25 years. It's going to happen. Some people, the big dream is retirement, man. I can't wait for retirement, right? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 30 says, "Now in this hope we were saved. Yet hope that is not seen is not hope. Because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness. He helps us because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings." That might be tongues. And he who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. What does that say? You've got to have some hope in this dream. You've got to have some hope in this expectation that what you're hoping for is going to come to pass. And that when you do that, the Spirit of God is going to come alongside you and help you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to pray through you. When you don't know what else to do, that is so cute. When you don't know what else to do, he's going to help you. He's going to bring people alongside you to help you. To have hope, to have a dream without some expectation of it coming to pass is not a dream. It's a wish. There's no wishing upon a star that makes your dreams come true. I love that song. It's one of my favorites. "When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true." But there's no wishing upon a star that makes dreams come true. there's a hope and an expectation that when God puts something in your heart, a desire to see something come to pass, that if you'll have trust, if you'll have faith in him, that he's going to help make that thing come to pass. You're not doing it by yourself. It might seem like it. It might seem like it because nobody else here is with you. But I guarantee you, we are. And the Spirit of God is. And he's interceding on your behalf, praying through you, praying through other people for you to see your dreams and your desires come to pass. Finishing that. He was the firstborn among many brothers, and those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. If you are his and you're called to him and you're called to walk with him, he's going to glorify you, he's going to exalt you, he's going to raise you up, and he's going to help you. You don't have to do it all yourself. He's there to help you. He's there to help you bring things to come to pass, to help bring your dreams come to pass. Dare to dream again this year. Dare to push for your goal. Don't stand idly by waiting for someone else to do it for you. God wants you to do it. God wants you to dream. God wants you to have an ambition. God wants you to have plans and goals for your life because he wants to work with you to help bring those things to pass for you. Make this next year a year of trusting God greater. Make this year a year of having greater expectations. Make this year greater by following through on your dreams. Don't give up. Amen? Don't give up. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I ask that you would speak to every person here, that you would put dreams back in their hearts, that you would give them goals and aspirations that they can achieve and that they can move forward to. Things that maybe other people have told them that is a waste of their time. God, right now, we just bind together and we determine together that we're going to move forward with you, that we're going to walk forward in the dreams and the goals and the aspirations that you've put in our hearts, that you've given us purpose and that you've given us plans so that we can follow through. We thank you, Father. I ask that you would help every person here today, within the sound of my voice, that you would help them to move in the direction that you've called them to, that you would help them to plan and to achieve their goals and dreams, and that you would make them the glorious people that you've called them to be, and that you would receive glory in seeing their dreams come true. I thank you, Father, for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.